I actually still remember watching you when I was younger and seeing you break the receptions record on Monday Night Football. The way you handled that is with true dignity, humility, and class, just like you've done everything else in your career. And you've really set the standard for all of the Redskins and Commanders receivers that have followed you. It'll truly be an honor to be part of celebrating you on November 2nd. Can't wait to see you there. Congratulations.
I was Adam Peters, GM of the Local 53, talking about my favorite player of all time, Art Monk. I was moved, quite frankly. Seeing that made me really excited, made me nostalgic, made me happy. I was a kid when Art Monk was here in this town. And when you turned on the game on Sunday, Art Monk caught a pass. I know that because he set the record for most consecutive catches, most consecutive games with a catch over the course of his career, where he retired as the all-time leading receiver in NFL history. It's Grant Danny on the Fan. Toby in for GP. Nobody better to talk about the great Art Monk than our pal Mark Schlereth, one of his teammates in years past. Mark, how are you, man? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a pleasure.
Go through it. When you first got to town and you met Art Monk, he probably said, what, like 2.5, 3 words to you the first month or so, just kind of given how he was. But just what did you know before, and then what did you learn once you became his teammate?
Well, you know, Art and I are dear friends, and his daughter lives in Colorado, and so we're kind of surrogate parents. As a matter of fact, they lived with us in our home. His daughter and his son-in-law and their 4 children live with us for 6 months or so while they were resettling in Colorado. So we're dear friends, and you know, James Arthur has just been the most quiet guy. You would, like, he wouldn't say 3 words if, you know, he had a mouthful of them. So, like, that is who he is to his core, and has always been that way. But he was just such a no-nonsense, like, such a big-time wide receiver for us and such a big-time player for us, and so just revered, you know, just such a unbelievable man, a man of faith. And so, like, I can't say enough good things about Art. There's a couple things, like, that resonate with me about Art, because Art sat behind me on the plane out and back to Washington when we played together. And I would always come up. Art hated flying, so he was always just deathly afraid of flying. And I would always find one little fact or make up a little fact about airplane accidents and things that could happen while you're in the air. And he used to hate it. Like, he'd just be white knuckle gripped on the armrests all the time. And I'd always say, you know, Art, I mean, like, 100% of deaths happen in airplane crashes upon impact. So just think about that, you know, and I just kind of walk away. So that drove him crazy. But I'm telling you, I told you his daughter and their kids and his son-in-law stayed with us for a long time. And they're family to us. And so Art was at the house just a couple of years ago. And I don't want to butcher this story, but we were just talking about kind of fears and playing and all that kind of stuff. And here's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. And we were talking about just the things you struggled with, you know, the things that were difficult for you as a player. And again, one of the greatest receivers in the history of the National Football League, right? And when he first got drafted out of Syracuse in the first round to Washington, to the Redskins at the time, Art was not very good, he said, getting off the line of scrimmage. So press man, like, crushed him. And he just wasn't good on his releases versus press man. And he was considered, and if you go kind of back in the annals, like, he was at first when he got to Washington, I think, you know, people were whispering about being a bust. And when Joe Gibbs took over, Joe Gibbs, you know, created that 3 wide receiver set, that single back, you know, offense that we ran with an extra tight end as the potential H-back and a lot of solo formations, a lot of single, 11 personnel, single wide receiver or single tight end, single running back and 3 wide receivers in those bunch formations. And what Joe did in creating those bunches and put Art in motion. And once you put Art in motion, you're getting free releases because you can't get pressed in that. And it completely, as Art was telling me the story, and I don't want to, you know, tell it the wrong way, but as Art was discussing it with me, it was like completely changed his career. And that's what set him on the path to the Hall of Fame, is being in motion and doing all those things out of the bunch formations where he had protection, where they couldn't press him anymore. So really cool to even think about, like, a Hall of Fame career that mm-hmm. could have been interrupted had it not been coached right. And that's what's always amazing about playing in the NFL and coaching in the NFL and being at the right place at the right time and the right system. You know, and I'm so fortunate. I look at my own career in the NFL, and it goes all the way back to my college days. In my college days, I was coached by an unbelievable offensive line coach by the name of Dan Cazzetta, who is a dear, dear friend of mine. And then I was coached in my first year in Washington by the legendary Joe Bugle. And then after that, it was the legendary Jim Hannifin. And after that, I went to Denver and got coached by the legendary Alex Gibbs. All three of those guys should be in the NFL Hall of Fame as assistant coaches. They're incredible. They created, like, they set the standard. And so, you know, you get into the right system at the right time, the right place in your career. Even when I left and went to Denver, I got out of, you know, Washington, where we were all counter and power and trapping guys, and my body was so beat up. And we got into that zone system, and it added years to my career because I wasn't having all the collisions I had during the course of my Redskin career. So, you know, being in the right place, the right time, getting the right coaching is the difference between being a guy that, you know, turns out to be a bust and being a Hall of Famer sometimes. And so really cool to see James Arthur get the credit that, you know, he deserves. Obviously, he's in the Hall of Fame, but to get his jersey retired is just flat out awesome. Hanging that 81 will be incredible.
Talk with Mark Schlereth here on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer sitting in for Grant Paulson. I didn't get the privilege of watching Art Monk play, but so many people in my family speak so reverently about Art Monk. Obviously, Danny mentioned that he's his favorite player growing up. As someone that knows Art was a teammate of his, what makes him so special? Because the numbers speak for themselves, and there are plenty of people that obviously put up great numbers and people love, but it's when you can combine a great person with a player off the field mm-hmm. as a player on the field. What makes him so special as a person?
Yeah, it just had such an impact on all of our lives, you know, everybody's life. And it's one of those things where, you know, the actions speak louder than the words. I mean, that guy didn't say anything ever, but he always lived his life, you know, lived his life in such a way that you wanted to emulate that guy. So that's the way he operated. And then on the field, you know, even though he wasn't loud, wasn't boisterous, wasn't today's, you know, diva slash wide receiver like we see and we have grown used to with the fantasy football leagues and stuff, that dude was as competitive as anybody, goes out there, works his butt off. And he was the guy, you know, where Ricky Sanders and Gary Clark were kind of the flash and the big over the top. That was the move the chains guy, right? That was the guy that was going to, you know, run the curls inside and catch the ball and, you know, stick his nose in there and break a tackle and get, you know, an extra 4 yards to make it first down. Like, that's what he did. And he was just a move the chains, no nonsense, the shallow crosses, the medium, you know, the low cross, the high cross, the in the middle of the football field, the dagger routes and all the things that he caught. And it wasn't that he couldn't go deep, but he did a lot of the dirty work back in those days that kept the chains moving, that got us key third down conversions.
So, Mark, you mentioned that phrase. My guy Toby's a young person. That's not his fault for being young, but it's times like this where if you're of a certain age, you hear he went over the middle. And now the young people are like, yeah, he probably found a soft spot in the zone. Back in the day, you went over the middle, and hunters lived there. And it was separate mm-hmm. you from the football or separate your head from your body or whatever. He did that. He did those grimy, hard as hell yards in the middle of the field. Speak to the difference then versus now as to kind of what that meant, to having that I don't know what you call that mantra, that mantra yeah. where he could yeah. go over the middle of the field and there was no question about it with him.
And there was a time, you know, where quarterbacks were coached, hey man, if you get a middle of the field close, like a single high safety look, you don't throw skinny posts, you don't throw the post, you know, you don't throw in the middle of the football field the seams because somebody will get decapitated. You just call them hospital balls. Mm-hmm. You can't be throwing your receivers a hospital ball, you know, and that's the way it was. Now you just go, hey, put it on him. It'll be a 15-yard flag if he tries to hit us. You know, that's like, it's a different game that way. And when you went over the middle, you know, when I first got in the league and obviously well before me, there were dudes that were just going to light you up. And I mean, it was kind of there was guys that just flat out weren't going to play there, you know, weren't going to do that. And you had dudes like back in the day, Jack Tatum back in the day, you know, Andre Dirty Waters. You had, man, Chuck Cecil. We were playing a game against Arizona. Chuck Cecil hit Ronnie Middleton so hard, I thought Ronnie Middleton was dead. I literally thought he died on the field. Like, it was like Chuck Cecil. If you've never heard of Chuck Cecil, go watch Chuck Cecil play football. That dude would absolutely put his bean on people, and he was trying to hurt people. He's a great dude. I mean, like, we were all trying. Like, that's what we were doing, not intentionally or anything, but just, like, you're trying to knock dudes out of games. And it was just a different time and different rules, and there was a badge of honor. So there were certain guys, you know, that weren't of the size to do that dirty work inside. But Art will never shy away from that stuff. He's a big, tall receiver, big-bodied guy, and tough as they come.
What were some of your favorite moments of him on the football field with you?
Well, when he set that record, it was my rookie year, and I just remember the game stopping when he said, I don't know if it was a consecutive catch record. I think it was the consecutive catch record that he broke, and I think it was Steve Largent's record maybe that he broke, but we were playing a Monday night game against the Denver Broncos, if I remember correctly, and we stopped the game and all went and celebrated Art, and you know, and kind of, you know, held him up, and then the game just proceeded, and we ended up losing that game, I think 10-7 to Gary Kubiak, as a matter of fact, because Elway got sick in that game. So, but I just remember, you know, I just remember thinking how cool that was to see, you know, Art Monk and know the legend. And listen, the game is different today. Like, I walk in to a meeting room with today's players, and most of the players don't know me from Adam, right? They don't know that I played. As a matter of fact, Montez Sweat, who played, you know, in Washington forever, right? I mean, he played in Washington for quite some time. And he gets traded to Chicago. And it's Montez Sweat, right? I'm right on that, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he gets traded to Chicago. And so it's the first game, I think it's the first game he's in Chicago now after his trade, and I'm doing the Chicago game. So I said, hey, yeah, give me, you know, on defense, give me Montez. I want to talk to Montez, you know, he's, you know, playing for Chicago now and just the transition, all that kind of stuff. And so he walks into our meeting room and we shake hands, you know, and he kind of eyes me up and goes, you're pretty big. And he goes, did you used to play? And I said, yeah, I played a little bit.
Yeah, I did okay.
And he goes, well, did you play in college? And I said, yeah, I played in college. He goes, what college? And I go, University of Idaho. And he goes, oh, okay. And he sits down. That was it. Like, he just figured I played at college. And my producer goes, he started for 12 years in the NFL, went to multiple Pro Bowls, won 3 world championships. As a matter of fact, you walk by in your team meeting room every day, and there's a picture of him, you know, Super Bowl champion right there on the wall as you're walking into the team meeting room. Like, my producer was disgusted, right? But the reason I tell you that story is I knew the history coming in the league. I was an NFL football fan. And it's different now because most of the guys become NFL fans from playing Madden. Most guys don't have a sense of history of the league. Most guys didn't, you know, a lot of the guys in the league nowadays didn't grow up watching NFL football. And so, and I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying it's different. It's different than the way I came up. So I had this unbelievable reverence for guys like you seeing Charles Mann and knowing that he went to Reno and that I played at Idaho. And if Charles Mann maybe can make it, then maybe I can make it. And then seeing him in person for the first time going, oh, maybe I can't make it. Look at that body compared to my body. You know, it's like, maybe I'm not meant for this game. So you had such a great sense of the league, and you knew the players before you came in. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, that's you know, that's Calvin Bryant. You know, he played for the Philadelphia Stars, and oh my gosh, that's, you know, and you just had that. And you know, and obviously most of the kids in today's game, they don't have that, and I'm not asking them to because it's just different. But you know, I had great reverence for Art Monk and the guys that were here before me.
So let's go to some of the playoff performances of Art Monk. I remember for years when, for whatever reason, he couldn't get into the Hall of Fame, which I always thought was just the most absurd thing in the world, Mark. But you'd have these weird sort of strawman things, like he never had a Super Bowl touchdown or things like that. Mm-hmm. But there were these huge mega games that you guys would, you know, lose to one of the eventual champions. Like, I remember, I think it was before you got here, lost to the eventual champion Giants in the NFC title game. He went 8 for 126. Or the year, and I think it was a 1990 team, You guys lost to San Francisco, who was great. He had like 160-some yards. But like the Super Bowl touchdown or whatever eluded him. But those playoff performances, there were some unbelievable we got to have at times, and it went to Art Monk.
Yeah, you know, we even he caught a touchdown. They got called back in Super Bowl 26 because I think it was out just barely out of bounds. And, like, we were all excited because we knew he'd never caught it. You know, we knew he'd been to the Super Bowl. You know, we knew, I mean, we all knew the history. And so we were all geeked up for him to catch Super Bowl touchdown, you know, and they took it back. And unfortunately, that never worked out for him. But, yeah, you know, some of those, like, they've got to have something. The voters have to have something to scrutinize. And you know, and they love to do that. They love to, you know, to feel or wield their power, so to speak, I think, in some cases. But, yeah, ludicrous that it took him some time. But, you know, eventually he got where he belonged in the Hall of Fame. And you're right, he had great playoff games. And he was just such a big part of what we did as an offense in the passing game. And, you know, that was a time where not everybody was, you know, not everybody was playing, you know, basing out of 11 or playing kind of quote unquote nickel. And that's what we did.
How cool do you think it is now at this point where this franchise for a long time was very, very careful not to retire jerseys, but then to see Darryl Green last year, now seeing Art Monk, how cool is it to now start recognize some of these all-time greats in this franchise?
I think it's incredible. And, you know, I was part of the Darryl Green festivities last year. And, you know, I don't know, I'm my wife and I are the godparents to all his grandkids. You know, we raised his daughters essentially, like we're so tight. And it's always funny. It's such an honor to be named a godparent. And then they start growing up and you realize, oh, so there's actually responsibilities that go along with this.
Yeah,
you know,
do some stuff.
like, this is getting expensive. but it's awesome. You know, we're just such dear family friends. And my wife and Jewel are such great friends. But it was so cool because they celebrated Darryl, but they celebrated all of us. And to see the guys, like just the throngs of guys come back to celebrate Darryl, but it's like all these guys all of a sudden felt welcome again. And so, you know, all these different generations of players, a bunch of guys I played with, a bunch of guys I didn't that we got to talk to, it was just special. Man, it was really, really special and just really cool to see it. And so I am so thankful you know, for the Harris Group that took over and purchased Washington, and what an unbelievable job they have done of inviting all of us players back into the fold, and what a great job they've done of honoring the guys who really helped create such a unbelievable franchise. And Washington, let's face it, for years and years and years, when I got there, I mean, it was already one of the jewels in the crown of the NFL. And, you know, those days under Snyder dissipated, they disappeared. And it's so cool to kind of see that coming back. And the success they had under Dan Quinn is amazing. It's just awesome. It's just so cool to see.
Mark, this is a real treat, man. Really appreciate it. It speaks volumes to you that you're willing to come on and just talk about someone else. So this is really, really nice to you, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You guys be well.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate there he goes. That's Mark Schlereth. Hope everyone had fun. That was for me, okay? I love Art Monk so much. All I wanted to do the last 2 days is talk about Art Monk. I want to talk about every game that Art Monk played in. I want to talk about every catch. I want to talk about the fact that if it was 3rd and 6, he got 7. I love Art Monk, okay? All right? Back to Terry. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Question is simple. You team Terry or team? Next on The Fan. Thanks to Mark Schlereth for hopping on the show. Stink was outstanding, talking about my childhood hero, Art Monk, whose jersey will be retired November the 2nd at Nubs Field against the Seattle Seahawks. Very, very cool. Awesome. Great job, local team. Some of you think, not so great job, local team. Welcome back to the show. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Tobias Junke in 4GP. People are mad. Terry gave his impromptu job is your credit press conference yesterday, where he invited media during a break from filming his commercial for Eastern Motors, and spoke pretty raw, pretty emotional, and shared his viewpoints, his feelings of kind of what's going on, state of the state here with him and the organization. And you could see the frustration, Tobes. You could see the upset that it had gotten to this point. And, you know, when you start hearing words like disrespect and value and appreciate and, you know, maybe that thing not being communicated and the fact they haven't communicated with him or his team for a month or so, you could sort of see, hey, there's some realness here that I think rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in terms of what is the team doing?
Yeah, 100%. And you could hear in his voice, because to me, I'd kind of dismissed some of these reports, and he basically said, no, man, that's coming from me.
Coming from me, yeah.
And you could hear it in his voice. Because it's one thing to, you know, we've heard Terry talk plenty of times, and you kind of understand what he usually says and what he usually does. But this one just felt different, and you could hear in his voice the disappointment and almost the hurt from this contract negotiation. And that's the sucky part of this sometimes. And he said it about a billion times in the presser saying, I understand it's a business, and that's what this all is. Like, I don't think there's a single person over there in Ashburn that is in the front office, including Adam Peters, that is like, nah, we don't want Terry back. We don't think Terry, the football player, can't play. It's just, this is all business, and this is the tough part about it, where Terry wants a certain number to feel respected, and he's saying, look, I need this because this is the number that would show that you believe that I'm in this tier of wide receiver. Not necessarily to set him up for life, because if he signed a $25 million contract versus a $35, he's going to be just fine. And we had this discussion yesterday a little bit about that. But it's more so about, show me the respect in terms of, I want to earn this dollar amount so that you recognize that I'm among this top crop of receivers. And the Commanders are looking at it saying, we like you a lot. We can't go to that number when you're turning 30. And so when you look at both sides of it, you can understand that there are some real quabbles, Danny, between the two sides. That one side's looking at it one way and the other side's looking at it the other way. And that's where we've gotten to now, where we're less than a week away from these guys reporting. And I don't know that we see a clear end in sight to this thing.
So it's not total apples to apples. It's not exactly fair. There's nuance to it. But, you know, we're kind of doing an either or bit here on the radio program. 800-636-1067. Simple question. What team are you on? Terry's side, which I've seen more of, right? It's the, I don't want to hear about any other things. Take your ranking, take your everything, shove it where it ain't shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Pay Terry. Shut up. Pay Terry. Guy tweeted us earlier. He's like out there by the facility with a sign that says, pay Terry or we riot. And he tagged everybody I could think of. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen that pulse. I've got, by the way, this is so delightful for me. I mentioned this before, but I'm of a certain age. I'm in my 40s. Very mid-40s Wesley Financial. Don't look at me like that.
Very mid.
Mid. I am mid, as my kids say. I know what that means too, Tobes. You can't speak code and think I won't understand it. I am mid, and I'm also in my mid-40s. What's my point? Oh, yeah. Guys that used to care so much about the team stopped. Now they care again. And we're like emailing back and forth about Terry McLaurin's contract. I'm so happy about it. I'm so thrilled. Yes, please.
By the way,
just give me
mid-40s.
Interest.
Emailing back and forth?
Yeah. Emailing back and forth. Yeah.
Emailing back and forth.
Yes. Emailing. When people have time. It's a big listserv.
Texting,
Tobes.
Calling, messaging. Nothing. None of that? Emailing?
Some of that, too. Those are for side conversations. Yeah, you can't just have a giant text thread with 25 buddies.
Sure you can.
No, that's unwieldy. Now every time somebody like picks their nose,
so
it's on the text thread.
You have an email thread about this with a bunch of guys?
Yes. I'll show you.
that is a very mid-40s.
There it is. It's it says, read the C word, whiteouts. Right there. It's an email thread. We're going on it now. My buddy Mike just weighed in. Will weighed in. Clay weighed in.
It's very mid-40s of you, Danny.
Dude, that's perfect. Don't act like that's not unreasonable. That's perfectly normal and reasonable to have an email thread.
The last time I had an email thread that wasn't work-related was never.
Well, Darius is in his Discord talking to the dark goblins
sure.
of the universe. You are 6 and a half doing some sort of weird IM thing with your away message. I don't even know. Wesley uses like a series of blinks and nods for
probably
his
full Snapchat
ilk.
For him.
Yeah.
Or something else. I don't know.
Yeah, we got text groups too. Like, we're all getting together, but these people, different cities, different time zones.
Mm-hmm.
emails. That's outdated.
Yes. That's very professional. I need, if I needed something or I'm trying to do something work-related, email works. Outside of that, unless I'm sending like flight itineraries and stuff, no, not email.
Wow. Okay. That's a one finger and one finger only, right in the middle of the hand, right to me. About that. Where was I?
You're saying something about people being interested in the team.
Yeah, people care about the team. We're emailing each other, which is normal. It's normal to email. Shut up, Wesley. You shut that mouth up. We're talking about this Terry situation.
Yeah.
And most of the dudes are like, you just pay Terry. What is the problem? Pay Terry. I find myself more on the team side of things. Even though I don't, like, it used to be back in the day, a guy would hold out. You'd be like, selfish. You're a millionaire. Play the game. And it's like, how? I didn't realize I'm siding with the billionaire. I'm, you know, like in the millionaire versus billionaire, I'm siding with labor. What does it matter with me? No. Or I'm siding with the owner. No. And the more you learn, the more you kind of, in general. So I don't begrudge Terry for trying to get as much as he can. He should. I would advise him that right now. If he's sitting right here, I go, hey man, love you. You're one of my favorite players. Try to get as much as you can. Okay. See you when you get in. I don't begrudge this process. It's part of it. You're doing everything you can. But in general, here's my view. I have begged for many things when it came to this organization for decades. The biggest one, aside from removing that little twerp boob who ruined everything that happened, was even if it was the little twerp that we were stuck with, please, please hire an actual general manager.
Yes.
Not a coach to do both. Not one of your idiot friends, drinking buddies, who was a lackey and a fall guy. A general manager. They did that, and then they hired one of the most highly sought after and thought of assistant general managers away from Detroit in Lance Newmark. They got a good front office. The front office is front officing. Isn't that what we wanted? Isn't that what I asked for?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're doing that. And being a good front office doesn't mean overpaying or paying above market or, you know, make an exception this time because he's cool or whatever, right? You're supposed to do the right thing as often as you can do it. And to some of you, that may just mean shut up and pay Terry the most money possible so he can get in here and this can be over with. And I understand that. But my point is the GM is GMing. I'm going to allow the GM the GM because I asked for the GM that would actually do some GMing. Not GM when it's convenient, and then the owner comes down and says, actually, we got to pay this guy. Or actually, we got to draft Dwayne Haskins. Or actually, we got to do this or do that. No. This is what's supposed to happen. The GM is doing the playbook to me. We talked about this earlier on in the show, Tubbs, you and me, where I think this is how they're going to do contracts.
100%.
And it's going to be, as our guy Fred Smoot says, frustrating at times. It's going to be a pain in the butt at times. It's going to fill our Julys here and there. But this is what they do. And while they're doing it, I'm not going to sleep under the very blanket of freedom they provide and question the manner that they provide it, Colonel Nathan R. Jessup. So for me, I find myself more on team. But I think both have a little bit of oxygen here. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Which team are you on? You got to boil it down to one side. Team Terry or team? Your call's next on The Fan. Safe to say, Tobes, that you're Team Terry?
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm team. Even though I really like Terry and want him signed, I've got a little bit more, maybe it's pragmatism. I don't know what the word is. Because I'm not necessarily rooting for anybody here. I mean, I understand everybody's position. I'm a little bit more pragmatic. I'm kind of going, that's nice, Terry, but the team's got a lot of leverage.
Sure.
So I guess maybe I'm more on their side, but I don't know. This is such a nuanced situation. It's hard when it's a guy that everybody loves.
Correct.
Right? It's not just one of those, ugh, we got to pay that guy. Yeah, he's great, but God, he's a pain in the butt. And the case here, this isn't Brandon Ayuk going on Instagram Live telling everybody that he hates the team and is lied to and betrayed and I want to play with Jaden Daniels and this, that, and the other, right? It's not that. This is a mensch, a stand-up citizen, a a great dude, a really good player that's been awesome here through some really dark times when there wasn't much reason to tune in other than to see what 17 was doing.
Yeah, I mean, you're just looking out for the betterment of the team in the long term. You don't want to have a contract that you feel saddled with in a couple of years. You don't want to look and say, all right, well, they paid him a couple extra. Maybe I can do it down the line and maybe start a trend of people trying to get a little extra. So you're just kind of looking out for the betterment of the team, because even though I'm Team Terry, if Terry McLaurin moves on elsewhere, I'm going to watch what Terry's doing. I'm going to cheer for Terry for the rest of his time in the National Football League. But I'm not wearing a Terry jersey for the Giants or the Terry jersey for whatever team he would go to. Like, I'm cheering for the team still. So even though I'm Team Terry, I obviously care about the team the most. But yeah, I think from different sides, like, I think everybody wants him back, whether you're on Team Terry or Team. It's just whether you want to see him get paid his number or you want to see the team get a deal.
800-636-1067. So it's the poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. After hearing McLaurin speak to the media yesterday, where do you align as McLaurin and the Local 53 remain at odds in contract extension negotiations? Team McLaurin trouncing Team 64 to 35 and change. That's what I figured it would be, honestly. Yesterday's emotional appeal is what that was all about, quite frankly, is the gin up the public pressure, gin up the public supports that you get fans holding up the pay Terry or we riot signs.
Correct.
Right? Because it's easier for them to say, I don't care if it's 32 or 33, or 34, $35 million. Doesn't matter to you. A, it's not your money. B, you don't see the repercussions down the line that maybe the team might.
Yeah, and again, from my side, being Team Terry, I see it as if this were in 4 to 5 years when Jaden Daniels is making a ridiculous amount of money, then yeah, it's maybe a different discussion. But where you're at right now, when we went into the offseason saying, oh, now's the time to spend money, you've got plenty of cap space and you're going to have cap space with a rookie quarterback, now's not the time for me to skimp out on a franchise guy like Terry.
Steven, Mechanicsville, Team or Team Terry?
Danny, I got to be Team. My old man who's listening and I talked about it today, we're emotional fans. I would pay Terry $865 billion because it's imaginary money and I don't care and I love Terry as a player. But we have to think, this is, like you said earlier, the first competent GM we've had in 30 years. This is how good teams do business, and it's not the last time this will happen to us.
Appreciate you, dude.
It's very true.
It's unusual around here. This whole thing, really good player, deserves a lot of money, is in a contract situation. We don't get many of these. Guys don't make it to their second deals here, let alone their thirds. This is uncharted territory for the last couple of decades, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point about the general manager, this is the first time in my life where this team has actually had a competent, proper organizational structure where the owner's not making decisions. You have a general manager that isn't just some idiot that they pulled off the trash heap and he's buddies and will do whatever the owner asks. And you have a coach and, everything works the way that it's supposed to. This is the first time. And so, you know, maybe that plays into a little bit of which side I'm on. But yeah, I would say that you want to trust the general manager to do his job. But when you see that he's not signing your guy, then it kind of flies into a point of maybe I need to let him know, sign Terry McLaurin.
Let's go to Michael in Germantown. Michael, good afternoon, man. You're on the fan.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am Team Terry, but before I hit that, Danny, I'm mid-50s, and I don't have email threads. I have text threads with my friends who are mid-50s also.
Oh, man.
I am Team Terry because we wanted a new owner. We wanted a real GM to help change the culture of the organization. Terry is a culture. He's what the culture should be.
Mm-hmm.
Terry is a productive player and an upstanding citizen. I had this before his talk yesterday. That was my thought before. If they had ponied up and paid him months ago when it first came up, they possibly could have come below some of these other receivers who just signed for 30-plus.
If he signs,
Team Terry.
I hear you, buddy. If he signs today, you won't email your buddies about it, I guess.
Might text him.
Could text him. Got a thread going. 800-636-1067. You've been on those threads with like dozens of people.
Yes.
It's like somebody likes the message. It's like 9 notifications. You know, especially
yeah.
if they've
oh,
got.
Oh, it's annoying.
I
was driving in today, and people from work are talking about who's going to win a 2-on-2 basketball game to the point that I almost threw my phone out the window. Yeah, it was annoying.
Who was going to win?
I'm going to put my money on Darius's nemesis, Anthony Haney, and whoever his teammate is against. I think it was like Jeff and Linnell.
Me too. Anthony's athletic, and it's really annoying.
I mean, Anthony's really annoying. I don't think you have to quantify the really athletic part.
Man. Turn your hat around, Toki. Yeah. Anthony's athletic. He's in shape. He's got a low body fat percentage, yeah, which, again, is off-putting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach. Yeah, he's pretty good. He doesn't tire also.
Yes.
Which, again, is very annoying. Like, the rest of us get a little winded. He doesn't. He's not susceptible to that, yeah, as a young person.
I get very winded.
With athleticism.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Coach. I think so. Like, I would have loved somehow to be, like, 17 or 18 and go up against Anthony Haney.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a lot more correct fun.
Yes. I think younger me could take Anthony Haney.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
You think so, Coach?
I don't think
that's
so.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
So yeah, you think younger Toby against current Anthony Haney, Toby doesn't win that?
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Wow.
Those fighting words.
Toby, he's not even saying ludicrous. He's saying ludicrous.
Yeah, I don't know what he's saying, but regardless.
So just to clarify, it's ludicrous or ludicrous?
Ludicrous.
See, he says ludicrous. I want you to think about that, Tobes. Think about that. 800-636-1067. Are you Team Terry or Team? We'll have closing arguments next.
That's absolutely ludicrous.